welcome this first Sunday of Advent. What a great day this is. Coincidentally, happens to be my mother's 83rd birthday today, so I am excited for that. I got a little party for her at our house afterwards. 83 years, as we talk about hope. We had Thanksgiving at my mother's house the other day, and she said, "I hope you kids understand I plan to live to be a little over 100. Yeah, and she said, "My great-grandmother lived in very rustic settings and lived to be 105. And I said, "Are you telling us you want us to downsize you, move you into a cabin with an outhouse, Mom, to help you persevere and get ready for that?" But she said, "No, thank you." Well, let's give this a shot on this cold morning. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Kisha. I appreciate that. Because this is the day He made also. With all its ice, with all its rain. I told you guys last year, and just so you know, if there's ice on the roads, we're not going to have you guys get out there. If there's water or moisture on the road, it's just like a rainy spring day, guys, okay? It is a little colder, but we'll meet. But we're not going to do anything to put you in jeopardy with ice on the roads or anything. Ice in the trees doesn't equal ice in the roads. So we're glad to be here today. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 43. And I'm going to read the entire psalm. In case you're panicking already that it's one of those 145-verse psalms, it's not. It's just five verses. And today's scripture reading says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" And then listen in verse 3. He says, "Oh, send out your light and send out your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, what the psalmist is saying here, he's talking about a couple things, and he begins saying, "Vindicate me, O God." What's he doing? He's pleading his innocence. Saying, "Hey God, I'm innocent here. Vindicate me. Plead my case." And then he goes on in verse 5 and he says, "Why are you cast down on my soul?" And he's looking inside himself. And he's saying, "Why am I down? Why am I down? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? What's wrong with my soul that I'm quiet inside and I feel down about something?" But then he encourages himself and says, "Hope in God." Amen? Hope in God. That was a lousy amen. Just for the record. Hope in God. Amen?
Amen.
Man, thank you. Because that's the name of today's message. Hope in God. And if we respond that way, God's probably going to respond the same way. Going, "Oh, okay, they don't care. We'll just sprinkle a little hope there." He says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him." Man. I've got trouble in my soul, but I'm going to encourage myself and say, "Hope in God." That's a great thing. If you would turn in your Bibles today to Romans chapter 5. And there's so many places I've debated over the last several months where I wanted to go today. As we celebrate Advent, what a great message today from our young people and our adults. Thank you for that. It's wonderful seeing these young people out getting costumes on and participating and doing those things from our youngest to our oldest. And I just love seeing those things. I didn't mention you by name yet, Tim. Ooh, I just did. So, by the way, the Psalm 43 that we just read, Psalm 42 ends the same exact way. The same exact way. And it says, "Hope in God." And the last verse is the same as chapter 43. going through things, going through trouble. Hope in God. That's what we have. I've told you guys before, I hear people talking about loved ones as they pass away, and they say, man, I hope I see them in heaven. But as Christians, we don't need to hope. We know. We don't have to say that. We know where we're going. And we know where our loved ones are if we've asked them and talked to them about it. So in Romans chapter 5, I'm very excited about this. I'll try not to yell and shout and hoot and holler, but... Oh, thank you. Amen. I appreciate that encouragement. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, hang on guys, there's more. And not only that, it says, but we also glory in tribulations. Anybody glory in tribulations? I'm going to tell you a little story real quick. My youngest son asked me in the last week, if you could go back and change anything, what would you change? We've asked people, we've asked ourselves, we've been asked that question maybe. And I had to think long and hard about that one. And I said, I don't know. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I don't know that I'd change much, because those things that I went through made me who I am today. Not that I'm 100% today, but I feel great about where I'm going and which way I'm headed. It was probably 10, maybe 50 minutes later. And I said, son, I've made a lot of mistakes. I don't want you to think I think I'm perfect and didn't make mistakes. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm just going back to our conversation 15 minutes ago. He said, you need to tell me when we're going back in time there, because I've moved on. But my point to him was, I didn't want him to think that I didn't make mistakes and life was great. I've made plenty. I've made plenty, and they could stack up. God knows every one of them. Some of you know them. Made a lot of mistakes. But those things make us who we are today if we have learned from them and grown from them and gotten better from them. So, there's a point in time. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that. But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Oh, all these things help me develop hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by whom? The Holy Spirit, who was given to us. I love this. I love this in chapter 5. Hope in God from the psalmist. And then here it tells us it doesn't disappoint. It tells us right in the beginning, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God. As we talk about Advent, that's one of the things that will be coming up. Hope, peace, love, joy. We have peace with God when we are His. It says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And I love this stuff. It talks about those things. And then it says what in verse 5? Now, hope does not what? Hope does not disappoint. Maybe you guys have disappointment in your life. But it says hope does not disappoint. Hope is what? The expectation that something is going to happen? We come with expectation. Advent is all about the expectation of the coming Savior. O come, Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. And in that we have hope. Now listen carefully in verse 6. It goes on, in verse 5. It says, now hope doesn't disappoint. How come? Because the love of God has been poured out. Not sprinkled out on us, but poured out. This has been given to us freely. When you pour, it's not just a little drip, drop, drip, drop. It's letting it flow freely. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The Bible also tells us a lot of things about what's in our heart. It talks about our treasures. It talks about the words that come out of our mouth. A lot of things are kept in that thing called our heart. And the love of God is poured out in it. Poured out in our hearts. By whom? The Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I love that. Moving on in verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength," a lot of us Christians are still trying to do it in our own strength. "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Amen? Wow. Maybe I'm a heavier sinner that my amen was a lot bigger than that. I don't know. It could be. But that is the basis of what we do. He demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still sinners, and by the way, we're still sinners, even when we came to Christ. That Christ died for us. We talked last year about the gift, the precious gift that God gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He knew what we were going to do with that gift. Kick it around, bat it back and forth, debate it, look at it, stare at it, but never do anything with it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, there's more news again. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Oh man, that's great. Now we're brought together with Him. I think many of you guys have seen the Bible and it says, the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, this would be good news. But when I read this, Christ came while we were still sinners and Christ died for us. And that's great news to me. That means I'm in. I'm a part of that. I love that. Great news, I'm in. He died for us. Many of us know Jesus Christ again, but what are we doing with that? Flip the page over to chapter 6, or maybe in your same page, Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, I love this. Great question, great answer. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Many of us have asked that question. Many of us have played the game. Grace abounds, I'll continue in sin. Because I know there's grace coming right behind it. I can keep on doing what I used to do, and I don't have to change for anyone. Jesus Christ accepts me the way I am. And by the way, my friends and family, if they don't like it, they can go away. Because I'm just being me. I got to be true to me. Be very careful with that mentality and that thought that I have to be true to me. I have to be true to myself. Well, then you've just said you don't have to be true and answer to anyone but God. You've just said, I'm denying that. Because when you accept Christ, you deny yourself. And being true to yourself is not denying yourself. It is not crucifying your flesh. It's saying it's all about my flesh. And it's all about me. But hope in God tells us, hey, there's a way out if we want. If a fire erupted in here, we got four ways out if you choose to take it. Four standard ways out for those of you that are thinking all kinds of other thoughts. Two doors here, two doors in the back. If you choose to take it, but if you want to sit here and burn up in the flames, so be it. Yeah, they'll put it out before I'm burned or singed. And be a little smoky smell. I can go through the shower and get that off. I can wash my clothes and get that stench of sin off. So do we continue on in sin? I love verse 2. Just two words starts it out. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? If we get married, how can we say, I can go on dating? I've gotten married, dating stops. I found life. We accepted Jesus Christ, we died to sin. How then can we live any longer in it? Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is very familiar territory, or should be, for most of us. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. And some of us haven't really made that transition. I was listening to a gentleman on the radio the other day, and he said, I think there's a lot of Christians that are lost. And I don't know that they're really saved, and that's between you and God. But what I'm saying is, I think there are a lot of Christians that are truly lost. Because we've accepted Jesus Christ, but we really haven't put that into practice and done anything with it. You see, the old man was crucified with him, but we hang the old man in the closet. And every now and then we put that old man on and we wear it around. And there's a lot of years of that old man. There's a lot of years that have done the same thing, and that change is difficult. I told you guys a couple weeks ago about the warning signs and the eating and the diet and whatever. It just kind of comes up there. And when you want to get rid of the old man, it takes a while. And it takes practice and it takes effort. Two steps forward and one step back is still progress, though. Remember that. When the devil knocks you back and knocks you down, two steps forward and one step back is still forward progress. And do not give up. We can't give up. There's so much to live for. And it's not ourselves. Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You're not free when you're enslaved by sin. When that sin grips you, when that habit grips you, when that temptation grips you and has you, you're not free. For he who has died has been freed from sin. If we experience that new man, then we've been freed from that sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He died for our sin. We have hope in God. And I really was reading in Ecclesiastes 6, and it talks about one thing comes to all people. It talks about the good and the bad and the good and the bad. And what comes to them all? Death. But those who know Jesus Christ, they have hope in their death. When we've lost loved ones, there's hope. There's still hope. I went downtown last night to a remembrance ceremony in the Cox Center. They have Christmas trees for victims of violence. And I went representing my sister and her son that was murdered a few years back. And they had a young lady read a poem that was a survivor. And then they had another pastor preaching and, I'm sorry, speaking. He said, I'm not preaching. This is a short thing. But he talked, even in death, we have hope. And even in the death of others, we have hope. And when we have that inside of us, then we can begin to live again. And we can rise above that. So verse 1, shall we continue in sin? Verse 2, heck no. Translate it any way you want, certainly not. It says, that hope that he brought has given us a newness of life. Then there's a lot of explanation that comes in the following verses. If he's died for us, we died this, he died once for all sin. But listen to verse 12 through 14 as we close today. It says, therefore, here's the reason why, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. In its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I love that. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. That you should obey sin. Do not let that reign in your body. When you just say, whatever. Been doing this. If God hasn't struck me down yet, He's never going to strike me down. I got plenty of time to change. Stop living that way. But the final verse, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Hope in God. Hope in God is what transforms us. It's what changes us. It's what makes us new. That hope that we have. And when you hope for something, what also comes with that? If you hope something is going to happen, you expect it to happen. You come with expectation. We talked about Advent being about the expectation of the coming Savior of the world. When you have hope, and you believe that that's going to happen, you have belief. I just mentioned it. Then you begin to believe that. And when you believe that, then you can start changing that process. Until you believe it, you're not buying into it. So it doesn't matter. You continue on satisfying the flesh and the lust of the flesh. If you don't believe that and you haven't bought into that, you see, every one of us, we've heard the gospel. We know that Christ died for us and for our sins. When we were all saved and perfect? No, when we were yet still sinners. We have hope in God. But the real question, as we go forward, what are we doing with the hope? Are we sharing that with other people? Are we telling them about the good news? Or better yet, the great news? Hey, by the way, I know you're involved in this, but man, got great news. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And He knew you were going to do it, and he knows you're in it. And He still died for you. So are we going to share it? Are we going to ignore that hope? Kick it around like a soccer ball? Just get it away from us. Are we going to live it and show other people by our life? Many of us may know a Jekyll and Hyde that we work with. If they're here in the church, do not point them out. But we say we're this and we live a life that's this. And that hope has kind of faltered just a little bit. As we begin this Advent season, my question to you is, we all have hope in God. What are you doing with it? The question is, what are you going to do with it? It's, what are you doing with it right now? Because what you're doing with it right now pretty much tells me what you are going to be doing with it a week from now, a month from now. And unless or until there's a radical change, it'll be the same. Tell me what your habits are. I'll tell you where you'll be a month from now, a year from now. Because your habits really tell where you are. So whatever you're doing with hope that you have in God right now is probably what you'll be doing with it a month from now. Unless or until you make a choice to make a radical change. That's hard to do when you're in the middle of sin. I've been there. I've been in the middle of sin and said, I just don't know how to get out of this. So I'm not telling you guys that I came straight out of high school, went to seminary or anything like that, and was this great Christian leader all my life. No, I was a sinner. My wife were here, she'd tell you, yeah, he was a rank sinner. But we can't put different levels, we're all rank sinners. And I was in the middle of stuff, and I didn't know how to get out. I didn't know how to get out because that's what my life was. It just kept going and kept going and just kept repeating itself the next day, the next day, the next day. And it took a radical change. And it literally took me saying, I am moving out of state so that I can separate myself from what I'm in and the people I'm with. That's pretty radical. I just started dating my wife. And I said, I have an opportunity and I'm taking it. And in a nice way, I said, I don't care what you're doing, but I'm going. I've got to go. I've got to get out of here. Don't think the worst of me. It wasn't deep, deep, crazy stuff. It was just sin. But it was sin enough that had a hold of me, and I couldn't figure out how to get out. And that was the only way I could figure out how to get out, was to move out of state. Well, it wasn't the only way, but it happened to be an opportunity that came up, and I said, I'm taking it. Because I passed a lot of exit ramps, and I didn't know how to get off. So wherever you are, I get that. Wherever you've been, whatever you're going through, I get that. I've probably been there or a situation like that. I've been there in the sense that I was in it and didn't know how to get out. I don't want any of you guys to move necessarily, but you need to talk to somebody about that. First person, start with God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, I like that. Thank you. Just for the record, left side and middle, this side was pretty strong. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Yeah, that's great. Guys, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we have hope in You, that we can find hope in You. God, my prayer today is for all people, myself included, that hear this. Truly look at this question. What are we doing with the hope we have in God? God, help those that are involved in sin that need a change, and we're all involved in sin of some sort, God. Bring that to our awareness. But not just that we're aware of it, God, but help us to desire to change. For sometimes to get away from sin, all we end up doing is focusing more and more and more on it. And somehow that drives us further to it. But help us develop a desire to change. A desire to be different. A desire to serve you. A desire to follow you. God, as we begin this Advent season, and the season of expectation of the coming Savior, and the birth of that Savior, help draw us closer to you, but not just to you, but your Word. Help us open this Word up, study it, understand it, apply it, share it. Your Word also tells us, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations. God, we cannot make disciples until we learn it, read it, and understand it. Until we open it up for ourselves and we experience you. God, we don't want an experience with religion. We want an experience with the living Savior. Help us to experience that through our day-to-day lives. Help us worship you in the things that we see and do throughout the day, throughout the week. God, help us be light and salt to those we come in contact with, guiding our actions towards one another, guiding our words towards one another, those we know and don't know. Your Word also says, to he who knows it is right and does not do it, it is sin. God, help us do the right thing when nobody's looking. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.